Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to, I was going to say a live friend zone. It's not.
It is. We're here and it's all happening. Now, I was wondering,
the vibe is electric.
Do you think that this, the way we're doing this today, thank you so much, is bourgeoisie, or is this, are we working dads out there just making ends meet?
No, this is bourgeoisie. We're at a cafe. You've just, I mean, God, the drink that's just been delivered to you, Guy Montgomery, is a tall purple smoothie with a beautiful orange daisy in the top.
Some sort of presumably edible flower. That's what people say about me. They say you're a tall drink purple. A tall purple smoothie.
The thing that turns smoothies purple is blueberries. Those things aren't, they're not cheap.
No. This smoothie was, I mean, talk about the cost of living crisis. This thing was $9.50.
Jesus.
Didn't bat an eyelid, though. I thought, I want this. I want the energy from it. I want to have a drink while we're talking.
$10 for a smoothie.
Hey, come on. It's like a meal. I'd take lunch off today.
How much was my Sprite? You bought me a Sprite?
None of your business
that.
How much that was.
It
was $11.
$11, $20 two drink order. No booze.
Yeah.
No good.
No, we are. We're at a cafe.
Do you remember when we were in America of the times, and you'd order a drink, and it'd be like, this drink is $3. And then it's like, oh, yeah, plus sales tax, plus tip. It's like,
yeah,
this drink's $7.
That whole, not including, no wonder Americans are all insane about tax, because if you're constantly being surprised by it, that would infuriate
absolutely
anyone.
Surprise! Everything's twice as expensive as you
surprised,
were advertised.
Like, you know, I remember going around the supermarket and like putting together a shop.
Yeah.
And then being like, you know, running the sums in my head as I go.
I got cash for this.
And then you,
I got a 50.
Of course, you're always like $20. It's insanity.
It is. There's laws against it in New Zealand. You're not allowed to do it. We've got GST, which is like our version of VAT if you're in the Eurozone. And if you are, a Wiedersehen. Oh, wait, no, is that goodbye? Oh, shit. Guten Tag.
Yeah. Bienvenue.
But
buongiorno.
You are not allowed to advertise the price of something without the GST in it, unless it very explicitly says, guess what, fucko? There's no tax in this number. Not
Man.
In America, though.
Tim,
Wild West.
Even just this cursory, very sort of glance that we're taking at numbers and the idea of tax and all that, I'm quaking in my boots. All these conversations always do, not just with you, but with anyone, has highlighted to me how little I know, how at the mercy of the world I am in terms of being told that this is right or this is wrong.
Bro, we all are, though. And I think the more at peace you can, I think, be with that, that you're just a person bobbing in the ocean that is the cosmos, the better, I think.
Yeah.
You know?
It's you know, I like it. It's a good place to be. I feel like I'm always banging on about it. I like to feel small.
That's
cool,
man.
I'll tell you what, can I tell you something? On Monday,
it must be difficult for a man who weighs in at, what, 6'3"?
6'2.5". 6'3" is obviously what I say to the ladies.
Sure, when you're on Tinder,
yeah,
you're 6'3" holding a fish.
But friends and family, they get the truth. They get 6'2".
They get
and a
no
bit.
Fish.
Yeah, no fish. I don't even fish. But I want to say I felt bloody 10 feet tall on Monday night, as much as I like to feel small. On account of, I was in Melbourne.
Yes.
And I filmed an hour of stand-up comedy. And I know for a fact that there were people who listened to our podcast there. And I want to thank them for coming from the very bottom of my heart. It was a lot of fun. It wasn't perfect, I'll say that. You know, it's an interesting thing doing... There's a duality when you're recording it. It's different even from recording a short set where it's like... Because there was only one take of this, you know.
Man.
Which is...
Did the pressure get to you?
Maybe a little.
It's hard for it to not.
I didn't feel particularly nervous. I was just aware that this is being documented.
Right.
And that creates a different experience from being like, this is live in the room and all that, you know.
Sure.
And I had to retake a few lines. Ultimately, look, I'm nitpicking. I'm very happy with what transpired.
And speaking of what transpired, and also...
Well... This is what
thank you from the bottom of your heart.
Yeah, this is
to the heart of someone's bottom.
This is what I'm getting to. So I did the show, and you know, incredible audience. I was really grateful. I had a pretty good time. I'm very happy with it. And I was backstage having a drink, and then one of the production people said, "Okay, I'm going to go home now. See you later." And they left. And I said, "All right, fair enough." Yeah. And then not 1.5 minutes later, this same guy, his name's Pat, he shows up in the green room again, and he says, "Hey, just so you know, you made someone laugh so hard they shit themselves." And I said, "What are you talking about, Pat? You got to be kidding me." He goes, "No, truly. Someone shat themselves. You go out and look." And so I walked out onto the stage. The room was empty now. And there were four ushers around a chair at the back of the room. And they were in, like, you know, the sanitary equivalent of PPE.
Yeah.
They had a lot of plastic on. And they were like... There's a lot of white powder on a chair, and there was a big plastic bag they were putting over it, and they were sort of laughing and saying, "Yeah, someone shat, and it's all up the back of the seat."
What the fuck?
And you know, the thing is, Tim,
up the back of the seat.
If you shit yourself in a show,
yeah,
you'd think. First of all, actually, what I should say is, I went out before the recording started. I said, "Hey, just so you guys know, filming this. Very exciting opportunity for me, so please, you know, don't get too confident. Don't talk to me unless I'm talking to you. Obviously, if you've got to go to the bathroom, you know, like, try hold on. But if you've got to go, don't sit there and piss yourself or shit yourself or whatever."
You told them.
I said that explicitly. But this person, I respect it because they shit themselves. And that, you know, they would have had, I imagine, what was close to the worst night of their life.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But there is a nobility and a... almost like a, it's almost, words escape me, but there's a generosity, not to those around them, but certainly to me, the performer. Because if they stood up and said, "This has happened,"
yes,
the whole thing grinds to a halt.
That's so true.
It's a health and safety issue.
God,
people have got to come in.
That didn't even occur. So the reason I'm not reacting in a way that one listener might expect is I've had advanced knowledge of this event. And in my head, I've always sort of considered it in the context of it's a live show, but it's so much more. It's someone's taping of their special.
And this is the thing, is there's 7 cameras in this room.
Yeah.
And if you stand up and say, "I shit myself."
Yes. Guess what? It's your show now.
Yeah, that's your special. And those cameras are going to fucking swivel around faster than an owl's neck. And, you know, there's no anonymity to it.
Yeah.
And I don't know that this person has total anonymity, and there's every chance that they're listening to this right now.
It's possible. I genuinely feel so bad for them, man.
I hope they drove. All I could think is I hope they drove.
Yeah.
You don't want to be taking that home on the tram.
It's such a hard, that's a really tricky situation.
It is a gift, I will say that, comedically.
Yeah, yeah,
and it's
yeah.
promotional material.
And if the person is listening, what would you like to say to them, Guy?
I'd like to say... I empathize with you. I hope that you don't carry this around with you, and that with time, I mean, I'm someone who's had to tell multiple anecdotes about shitting myself on this very podcast.
Yeah,
but with time, make peace with. You don't have to publicly. So if you want to come forward to me privately, I'll protect your identity. And what I would actually love to do is, whenever the release date draws closer, I'd love to. I can modulate your voice. We can put it through a modifier, but I'd love to get together and interview you for a special podcast just to, you know, because we had different nights, but we were there for the same reason. And that's interesting to me.
Yeah.
It's interesting that I'm having what is by all accounts to this point in my life, a career-defining moment.
Yeah.
And you are having the worst night of your life.
Yeah, yeah.
That's funny.
It is funny. It is funny, and I hope that they can view it with the humor that it contains.
Well, look, and there's no rush to do that, because if you're still feeling embarrassed by it, I totally understand and I empathize.
Yeah.
And I can't, it's not just sympathy, it's empathy, because I've been there.
It's a tricky one, isn't it? Because people would know, I think. If you've ever, I can't even remember exactly what the context is, but I've definitely been around adult people who have shit themselves, and it's a very different smell from a fart. Like, you can tease them out instantly. Yeah. It's like, that person didn't, that's not a fart. Someone has shit themselves.
Absolutely.
In this environment. And so you're in a seated situation. You're a prisoner, you know, to that seat. You can't get up. And so you're sitting there knowing that other people know what has happened.
This is the thing, is like, it must have been a pretty low-key smell. Or maybe
Why
even late in
that?
The show. I just think...
You think there would have been more commotion? You would have picked up on a change in the audience?
I was pretty attuned to what was happening in the room, and the crowd would lit up. I could see most people. I did not notice like any rustling, any discomfort, anything to suggest what happened had happened.
Hopefully it was right at the end. What'd you close with?
The brown note.
Really?
Yeah. I built an instrument that I play, and it doesn't work on everyone, but when it works, it really works. And I played the brown note. No,
now this makes a lot of sense.
I closed on just a traditional joke. But I do now, you know, I would love to know, I do now have a brown joke.
Yeah.
You know, the equivalent of the brown note,
yeah,
but in comedy.
Yeah, that's so true. Congrats on both, you know, a successful taping and a very unique reaction that it elicited from one of your fans.
One of my favorite messages was from my friend Cass, who said, congrats on getting someone to fill their pants. Surely an experience you'll never top.
Absolutely.
And
not.
I'd forgotten about that turn of phrase, but fill their pants, really
it's
funny.
It's all downhill from here, Guy. You've reached Everest.
Well, it's... There's no way that the special can live up to the, like, you know, it's a one-off.
That is also, as you mentioned, a rare promotional opportunity. Like, this is a pants-shittingly funny special.
Yeah. So funny you'll shit your pants.
And it will be marketed thusly, if I get my way.
And Tim, while I was doing that, you were talking about this in the last Friend Zone. You were not on a hike as planned. You were, I believe, carrying a keg around in abandoned school grounds on a self-built stretcher.
It was just formerly a little rural school, and now they rent it out on Airbnb. It had a lot of fun, ate a lot of KFC. Got a 100-piece bucket, which comes with 10.
How did you ration out your portion of chicken?
I ate 7.5 pieces, and then I have to own up to it, vomited the entire contents of it later in the guy didn't know that bit of the evening. There was a lot of revelry going down. We had a keg of beer and a lot of chicken, so you know, you'd be crazy not to at least have one little tactical yak. A lot of laughs shared. We had fantastic thing. I feel like I blow up my friend's spot a little bit by oversharing, but I don't think they'd mind. So a couple of them had developed this great system, which was sort of a personal bingo. And so there was, I think, 11 of us. There was a couple who come in like night two. Some people had to leave early. But everyone who came, we created what my mate Nick was calling a behavioral event. So you guessed a personal trait that would come up at some point. And if they did it, they had to drink a beer.
Wow.
And so... Everyone got a Facebook thread with everyone in them except the person it was about to discuss what their most likely personality trait to come up was.
So everyone voted on the single... So like it was,
there was actually two. We came down to two behaviours.
For each person.
Yeah.
And decided unanimously by the rest of the group what the two most likely traits to appear. That is great.
My favourite one, my mate Andy, who's like 6'4". was duck through a doorway.
That's unreasonable. That is not a trait. That's just a person living.
Yeah. Some of them were meaner than others. I got off pretty fucking lightly, I think. My two were takes a photo using the timer function on his cell phone.
That is funny.
And clicks fingers enthusiastically to a song he chose.
Did you display both of these traits?
100%. 100%, yeah.
And so what, I guess you only, it only happens once, or is it every...
Yeah, it's just on the first time you do it, and then they go on the wall, and that's that. I won a Nerf duel. We had a big duel between all of us, won that. Very proud of
everyone.
That. I got into the semis, then had my huge vomit, and then came back for the finals
came
and
back
took
stronger.
It out. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Steady hand. Lighter.
I actually, speaking of dueling, I watched, I did a corporate gig last night, Tim. I performed half an hour of stand-up comedy to 120 school principals at the Hilton Lake Taupo. One of the sort of more unique performing experiences of my life so far. These guys, they were licking up. They were enthusiastic. Some of them were heckling me.
Were they?
And I said, I would basically just say, look, I don't come down to your school assembly and say guacamole to you. And that absolutely killed. Also, a few vice principals in who I gave the ribbing of a lifetime.
Excellent. As well you should. Those who can't teach and those who can't teach are vice principals.
That's right. But afterwards, I went up to my hotel and I watched a Western called The Hateful Eight.
Oh, yeah.
It's a Quentin Tarantino film.
Is it the one that the script got leaked?
Yeah.
And so he got real mad and then like...
He cancelled it and did a live table read.
Right.
And then after that decided I'm going to do it.
Oh, okay.
And it, there's a lot of dueling in that and I loved it. Well, I'm a simple person.
I feel like the gloss really came off that movie because he threw his toys so much.
On that movie.
And my, yeah.
Oh, around it.
Quentin Tarantino.
Yeah, I agree because I forgot it existed and haven't seen it. And then...
He was like, I'm not doing it. Someone leaked the script. But then I didn't realize he actually did do it.
He did it, yeah.
But then there was that, wasn't there an Adam Sandler Western?
So this is
right
The
around?
Ridiculous Six or something. Yeah. And that is different.
We watched
and
that, I'm pretty
sure. Yeah, we did, yeah.
God damn. But like, it all gets jumbled up in my head together, you know? Because that was around a similar time.
Yeah. Well, rest assured, they're different films.
Okay.
And there's a man who's obviously shown some competence with a Nerf gun. If you're into dueling, there's no overt dueling scenes, but there's people drawing their weapons quickly and shooting with accuracy.
Can I tell you the one thing I wanted to talk to you about, though? I made the greatest soup I've ever eaten in my life. I made it the other night.
On school grounds or at home?
No, at home.
What was the inspiration? What were the ingredients? And what was the setting?
The inspiration, I think, is that it's been quite cold recently, and I'm a little crook. Remy's been a little bit sick.
There's some sickness going around.
We're all getting by on a little sleep. So it's like, how do we pump ourselves full of the good minerals and vitamins that our body needs to fight off the germs? And so I went to the super and just started buying seasonal vegetables and big packets of dehydrated soup mix, you know, like peas and carrots and whatnot. Started googling different vegetable soup recipes and just combined. I had so many herbs and seasonings in there. I had three different kinds of pepper in the soup.
Wow. Sounds like you were inspired by your experience with the Colonel to introduce multiple herbs and spices.
Perhaps. It was, but it was sensational.
Wow.
It was so good. I seriously think it's the tastiest soup I've ever eaten, and I made it. And that is crazy.
Is it replicable?
No, I could never.
Truly?
Absolutely not. I mean, the quantities, the who knows what's in it.
That might be enough to drive a lesser man mad.
No, I know what I did.
Holy shit, it's so hot.
Yeah, you're right. Should we switch? Do you want to switch? I'll get a blast
if you can,
of the
briefly.
Sun.
Briefly.
All right. The boys are now switching posies. And what an ideal time for us to also switch gears a little bit in the friend zone and maybe share some letters from our friends.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
What do you say?
Honestly?
It's so hot in this bit.
I'm glad. I thought maybe I was being hopeless, but it is too much.
Were you going to say you don't want any letters in this friend zone?
I just said I was enjoying just us shooting the breeze, yeah.
It is nice, but there's... The friend zone email inbox is like another to-do list for me. There's so many messages to get through, starting with this one. From the very end of 2021, Adrian writes, "Hello, not sure if you're still doing friend zones, since my listening to Twilight has been haphazard, and I'm currently alternating the end of We Are Your Friends season and current recaps of And Just Like That. Regardless, I have important information regarding Sex and the City lore." Sorry for sniffing. "In the most recent episode, you mentioned that Carrie visits a bodega. That seems like it must be important to this nostalgia of the show. I'm here to report that I have, unfortunately, seen all of Sex and the City, and no such bodega or bodega owner appears anywhere in any episode before And Just Like That. That mattress Pikelet King would choose to introduce this as if it would somehow be remotely recognisable to someone who has seen the original series is, like so many of his other choices, totally baffling to me. Thanks as always for the show, and Happy New Year to you both. Best, Adrian."
Thank you, Adrian. And it's always nice to know we're not fools. We're not being played for fools, and that our interpretation of certain text is, you know, accurate. I've got something for you, Tim.
I'd love to hear it.
"If this makes it into the friend zone, I'd prefer if you only use my first name. However, if it's too late and you've already said my full name, that's fine too. No hard feelings."
Hey, well done, guy. You didn't even use the first name yet.
They haven't mentioned it. "Dearest Timbly, Wimbly and Flash, I've started listening to your podcast from the beginning less than a year ago, and I just wanted to tell you that it has often been the highlight of my work days.
Aww.
I have pretty severe anxiety, but putting in headphones and listening to you two brave boys is oddly comforting when I'm deeply out of my comfort zone. You've made me laugh in front of strangers and co-workers alike and gotten me through a lot of very long days. I work as..." You guessed.
"Research assistant."
Where?
"A laboratory."
"A pastry chef in a coffee shop."
Okay.
"And I recently watched a man come in, order two cups of coffee, chug them..."
Ho, 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 ho.
"And leave without saying a word. Perhaps he's training to usurp the coffee guy throne. If I see him again, I'll have to summon the courage of a couple of fuckboys to chase him down and ask him just where the fuck he is off to. Thanks again for all the laughs and for keeping me company during some stressful times in my day." That's from Kidder.
That's gorgeous. Loved that one. "Fare thee well, coffee guy, IRL. The subject line for this message is, Emmanuel, Dracula, the Godfather, James Bond, Popeye, and a knockoff Bruce Lee walk into a 70s kung fu movie in The Dragon Lives Again." Sorry, I had to burp. Did that off mic, hopefully. "Hey there, frosty fellas. Love the pod and the latest season." This was on the 3rd of Jan, which, coincidentally, is my wife's birthday. Love the pod and the latest season. Apologies if you've already mentioned it and I missed it, but if not, I want to strongly recommend the best and only piece of Emmanuel Media I've ever seen. The Dragon Lives Again. Might be the palate cleanser you'll need after the horrors you've witnessed this season. A low-budget, late-70s Hong Kong action film where Bruce Lee, not played by Bruce Lee, has to fight his way out of hell with the help of his good buddy Popeye and Kane from Kung Fu. While the villainous Emmanuel teams up with the Godfather, James Bond, Clint Eastwood, also not played by Clint Eastwood, and Dracula to try and usurp the King of Hell. Come for the Emmanuel trying to fuck Kane to death, stay for the Kung Fu battle between Dracula and Bruce Lee, and the extended discussion of the magical properties of Bruce Lee's penis. Whether or not y'all watch it for the pod, it's an absolute cornucopia of copyright-infringing delights and a great watch. Hope you boys enjoy it if you check it out. And thanks for all the memories, Charlie. She, her, feel free to read my first name on the pod if y'all are reading mail.
Name of the movie again, please.
The Dragon Lives Again. The email actually had a link to the wiki. The poster's very great.
I like it.
90-minute runtime. It's in Cantonese. And the film begins with the announcement, this film is dedicated to millions who love Bruce Lee.
It says here under the reaction, many contemporary critics have shown affection for The Dragon Lives Again. Nobody calls it great filmmaking, but most applaud it for its ridiculousness and surrealism. And that sounds pretty tempting to me. Now, what about this? I can't tell if that's two separate messages. Hey boys, love your work. Quick question for you both. If asked by the Madras himself, would you make a cameo on And Just Like That Season 2? The Gilmore guys got to do a cameo on that reunion thing done for Gilmore Girls. It would only be fair for the Frosty fellows to pop up in a shot somewhere, say my name or don't. I'm not your dad. No, you're not my dad. You're Aaron. I would always say yes.
I would, of course, say yes. The prospect of having to sort of deal with the real-life implications of knowing that Mattress Pikelet had heard any of what we have to say is a bit scary. Mm. But I would face it like an adult, own up to my shit, and negotiate a very tasty contract to be a featured extra.
I would love to get cancelled for a line read I gave for something written by Mattress Pikelet on And Just Like That. Like, I would love to delineate.
People don't get cancelled for what their characters say.
This is what I'm saying. If there's a way for that to happen to me, that's what I want to happen. That's the only way I want to go down. I want to play myself and do so convincingly that there's a real, like, and maybe even manufacture some rumors from the set that I would refuse to perform the lines as written and improvised a lot. And then when you watch it, my character's deplorable and says some horrific things. And somehow for that sort of disdain and cancellation of the fictitious version of myself to bleed into my actual life and see me erased.
Well, dreams are free, everybody. And that was The Friend Zone. 100 and something.
One Dalmatians.
What number are we up
naming
to?
Movies?
No. No. If you had to guess which Friend Zone that was, what would you say?
161.
It's less than that. I think it's
154.
30 something, maybe? At any rate, you'll know because it's on the title.
Lucky.
So, bye everyone for now.
Do you want people to do anything?
I want people to live their best lives. That's my call to action. Other podcasts will tell you to rate and review. They'll tell you to buy merchandise or sign up to their premium episodes on a particular platform, in our case, Substack. I'm not going to ask you to do any of that shit.
I just want you
to have a good life.
Could you please rate and review WTF with Mark Maron?
Oh, yeah. Do us a solid and give Mark Maron 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. Please. It really helps people discover the show.
Do it right now.
It's important that more people know about Mark Maron's podcast.
Yeah. We'll see you next time. In the friend zone, you're not alone anytime with Tim and
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.